Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. In New Testament times, farmers would put wheat on top of the sieve, and then they'd throw the sieve up and down until the crud came out, and all they had on the top was pure wheat. Well, on Maundy Thursday night, that's the night before Jesus was crucified, Satan put St. Peter on the sieve, and he shook St. Peter up and down that night, and some pretty awful crud fell out of St. Peter, and he denied Jesus three times that night. For this TV program, we asked the question, why does God allow Christians to be thrown and tossed and tempted and buffeted by the devil? Would you take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and let's pray. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who's really being tempted or they're just being beaten up, they feel, by the devil. Lord, teach us why that happens, your mysterious purposes and all things. Holy Spirit, come be our teacher, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The sifting of St. Peter, again, this happens Thursday night, the night before Jesus is crucified the next day on Good Friday, starting at verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, or Peter, Peter, behold, Satan has demanded. Let's stop there. First lesson I want you to get today, Satan exists. In some of our liberal seminaries and our liberal denominations, seminary professors and pastors and some bishops no longer believe in the devil. That's just a metaphor for evil. Not according to this verse. Satan is real. Now, I don't think that Satan has a pitchfork. That's not in the Bible. Never says Satan is red, or that he has horns, or that he has a tail, but that an evil personality called the devil exists is in the Old and New Testaments. So, first lesson today is Satan exists. Let's look at the rest of verse 31. Behold, Satan has demanded, Peter, permission to sift you like wheat. Now, the question is, why is God going to permit Satan's request? Why is God going to let the devil do that? And I think if you read a few verses earlier than this text, the disciples are arguing which one is the greatest. And my guess is, Peter says, well, of course, I'm the greatest. I'm the only one that walked on the water. I'm one of the inner three, so I'm the greatest. And so in order to get the pride out, God is going to let Satan sift St. Peter. So here's the lesson. Sometimes God lets Satan shake us for our cleansing. Years ago, I knew a man named Joe. Before I knew him, he was living in the homosexual lifestyle. He got AIDS. But AIDS brought him to Christ. And he turned to Christ, started a ministry to help people out of homosexuality. He lived for years, but in the end, AIDS got him. But there's an example of God letting Satan shake somebody so that they would come to Christ, and so God could use Joe for his glory. Verse 12, verse 32. Jesus says, but Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. next glorious lesson from this verse. Jesus prays for us. It says in Romans chapter 8, Jesus is right now at the right hand of God the Father praying for us. And what do you think Jesus is praying for us up there? I think it's this verse. Father, may their faith not fail. You know, the way I understand Scripture, your faith is not something you do. It's something God gives you because Jesus is praying for you. I think if God stopped giving me faith, or if Jesus stopped praying for me, I could lose my faith in a minute. In fact, take this for what you think it's worth. I had a dream years ago that said, it is a sin for you to think that you are keeping you a Christian. I should thank God every day for giving me the gift of faith. It says in the book of Acts, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive the things said by Paul. So, you could say, though, but God didn't answer Jesus' prayer. Peter did fail that night three times. Well, actually, I think God did answer Jesus' prayer because Peter did not fail ultimately. When Satan was shaking Peter over the sieve, he wanted Peter to fall all the way through. He didn't because Peter came back. Judas fell all the way through. Judas never came back to Christ. But after Peter fell, he came back to the Lord. You know how you can tell if you're a Christian? It's not that you never fall, because we all fall. I've been a Christian many years. I've sinned many times. But you know what God does? He always brings me back. And somebody said once, being a Christian is like walking on the deck of a ship. God will let you fall more than once, but he'll never let you fall overboard. And if you have sinned, and no matter how many times you sin, if you always come back to Christ, I think that's because Jesus is praying for you. Look at verse 32. I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And you, Peter, when once you've turned again, once you've repented, strengthen your brothers. Here's the next lesson. God can use even our failures for his glory. John Piper is a pastor who wrote these words. All of our hard times, even our sins, will work together for good for those who love God, Romans 8:28. In view of this, should we ever despair over our past? Grieve from time to time, yes, for that may be God's purifying, humbling intention. But despair over our past? No. God will take our sin and use it for his own glory and the good of his church. You know, I think God used Peter more after he denied Jesus three times than before. Why? Because once that awful thing happened, Peter knew the rest of his life, I can't trust strong Peter anymore. I can only trust Christ. Look at verse 33. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Here's the next lesson. Don't be too sure that you won't fall into sin. 1 Corinthians 10, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. My belief is the greatest Christian is capable of vile sin. I think of David in the Old Testament. I think of Peter here denying Jesus three times. I think of the Christian Bible study leader who ran off with the secretary. My point is, don't think it couldn't happen to you. Be humble. Protect yourself. Stay away from people and things that have caused you to sin in the past. Protect your weak spot. And don't think, well, it won't happen to me. Be careful. Be humble. Be very careful. Verse 34. And Jesus said to Peter, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have three times denied that you know me. Believe it or not, there is some good news in this depressing verse. Here's the good news, the lesson. The chief coward of the New Testament became the chief leader of the early church. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the apostles out, and the two early leaders of the Christian church were Peter and James. My point is, God can use you mightily even after you've blown it. Again, I'm thinking David in the Old Testament. He committed adultery, he committed murder, but he repented, and David had to put up with some awful consequences to his sin, but God still used David. In fact, David's the only person in the Bible of whom it is said he was a man after God's own heart. So, let me ask you a question. Is there some sin that you committed in your past that kind of haunts you? And you kind of wonder, does God indeed forgive me for that one? Can God ever use me again? If that's you, you need to do what I think Peter did. You put it under the blood. And you say, God, I've sinned. I've denied you. I've done this or that. I put that under the blood. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for that sin. So I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I believe through Christ you promised to forgive me. And so I forgive myself for what I did. And I move on and trust that God can use you again. All right, let's review all of this. What do we learn from the sifting of St. Peter? Well, here's what we've learned. Number one, Satan exists. Number two, sometimes God lets Satan shake us for our cleansing. Third thing we learn is Jesus prays for us. He's the one who's keeping me in the Christian faith. He's the one who keeps bringing me back every time I fall. God can use even our failures for his glory. We learned that we need to not be too sure you won't sin. Be careful, be humble, protect your weak spots. And then the chief coward, Peter, of the New Testament, becomes one of the chief leaders of the church. And I want to close with this. A woman was vacationing in Switzerland. She's hiking through the mountains, and here comes a shepherd with a flock of sheep. One lamb is right next to the leg of the shepherd as he walks. And the woman says, how come that lamb is so close to you? And he said, because I broke its leg. She said, you purposely you broke his leg? Yes. This lamb was the most rambunctious. It would go off on its own, be over by the cliff. It was very dangerous. So I have learned if I break its leg, it has to stay next to me while it is healing. And by the time that leg is healed, that lamb will be right next to me the rest of its life. I think the reason God let Satan throw Peter on the sieve and tempt Peter was so that Peter, the rest of his life, would know, I can't trust strong Peter anymore. I need to stay every day right next to my shepherd. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is from a viewer. Mm-hmm. Some of my Catholic friends say I need to go confess my sins to a Catholic priest to be forgiven by God. They point to the Bible passage where Jesus tells the apostles to confess their sins to each other. Is this what Jesus meant?
I think the verse he's talking about is James chapter 5, where it says, confess your sins to one another and mm-hmm. pray for one another that you may be healed. It doesn't say priest. Now, I don't think anything's wrong with confessing to a priest or a pastor. It can be very helpful. But do we have to confess to a priest or a pastor to be forgiven? No, because when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, God is doing that. Mm-hmm. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't add, and you have to go see the priest. See? And so, I'm a Lutheran. You were raised Lutheran. Luther's Small Catechism. And this is what Luther wrote so the Lutheran churches would follow Scripture.
And part of the catechism is, what is the office of the keys? Do you know what that is?
No.
All right. It is the peculiar church power which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of penitent sinners, but to retain the sins of the impenitent as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? Thus writes John in John chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you remit or forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained." So I do think we can use that power with one another. I don't think it has to be a priest or a pastor, but it can. And in fact, in the church service, I'm going to read, this is what I grew up with. You go to church and they open the service with confession absolution. A lot of churches have left this behind. I don't think they should. So you can worship in a good conscience. Here's what I had to do as a kid growing up. The whole church is doing this. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins with which I have ever offended thee and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry and sincerely repent of my sins, and I pray thee because of the boundless mercy and the innocent, bitter sufferings and death of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. The whole church says that, and they confess their sins. Then the pastor gets up. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained minister of the word, announce to you the grace of God for all of you. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, what do you mean? Pastor can't forgive sins. Only God can. Well, read John chapter 20. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And the way this plays out, Mona, so I think it's good to have confession and absolution. And you can be very helpful to confess. I mean, I have a buddy that has had a porn problem for many years. Mm-hmm. He became an Orthodox Christian, which is kind of not Lutheran or Catholic, but kind of in between. He goes to his Orthodox priest before communion to confess his sins, and it's putting a dent in his porn problem. So it can be very beneficial. Another way to do it is the James chapter 5. Mona, get a prayer partner. I have a prayer partner. I have somebody that holds me accountable. How you doing in this area, Tom? Confess your sins to one another. This is why it's good to be in a small group, an accountability group, good to have a prayer partner, because there's power in confessing. Mm-hmm. You know, if we keep all of our... I feel bad for people, Christian people, who have never confessed their sins to anybody. Mm-hmm. That's way too lonely. And I think Satan gets power over us if we're not talking to somebody somewhere about our sins. Mm-hmm. So that's the long answer there, Mona. There you go.
Catholics teach that Peter was the first pope. Is this true?
No. Now, the Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the first pope, and then we have all these popes up till today. Mm-hmm. Well, it was true that Peter was one of the leaders with James of the early Christian Church. That's true. Mm-hmm. Did that make him the first pope? Maybe he got to Rome. Probably he did. He was probably crucified upside down, mm-hmm. but none of that's in Scripture. We're not sure of that. But even if he did, the whole thing about having a pope set up in Rome that governs the whole church, no, that wasn't until many years later in early Christianity. So I'd say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the keys of the kingdom given to
Peter?
Okay,
we just did that. Okay. But Mona, I got to bring something up. My dad was a Catholic, and I think he would not believe what's happening in the Catholic Church. And I'm not preaching against Catholics. If you watch the show, I preach a lot more against the Lutherans than I do the Catholics. But Gio Benitez is an ABC news anchor. Mm-hmm. This just happened last week. He's a gay man married to a husband. A Catholic church in New York had a confirmation mass for Gio Benitez, making him a member of the Catholic Church. Who sponsored him? Mm-hmm. His gay husband. Hmm. And so you can go to a website and watch this. Here is a Catholic priest giving Holy Communion to Gio Benitez and his husband. Hmm. My dad would say, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Catholic Church has always taught that homosexual behavior is a sin. Mm-hmm. But what's happening in the Catholic Church then? I mean, if the Bishop of New York doesn't step in and do something, and I don't think he will, because mm-hmm. who was at that confirmation mass? Father James Martin, a Catholic priest that should have been defrocked long ago because of the way he promotes homosexuality mm-hmm. in the church. Why doesn't the Vatican clamp down on this? Then you had the last Pope, Francis, saying things about homosexuality. Well, who am I to judge? You don't say that. I mean, again, I have struggled with this issue. I don't want anybody telling me that that's okay, because mm-hmm. it's not. So pray for the Catholic Church if you're a Catholic, because the Vatican needs to step in. And one more thing, it was on the Vatican's official calendar. They had an LGBT mass in Rome, presided over by a bishop and Catholic priests. And the cross that was processed in was decorated in gay rainbow colors. The Catholic Church?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people wonder, are we at the end of time? I don't know, but could be.
Mm-hmm. What about Scripture? What does Scripture say? Apostle Paul says
absolutely.
That.
When the woman caught in adultery, mm-hmm. Jesus did not say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin some more.
Mm-hmm.
He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The Catholic Church needs to say that. Mm-hmm. The liberal Protestant churches need to say that. There you go.
Okay. I was taught that all sickness comes from the devil. Is this true?
It does say in Acts that Jesus went about healing those oppressed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the lady that was bent over, and Jesus healed her, and Jesus said, this lady, Satan is bound for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, so Satan can have a hand in your sickness. On the other hand, are there scriptures where God himself directly gives people sickness? There are. The plagues of Pharaoh in mm-hmm. the Old Testament. It says in the book of Acts that the angel of the Lord smote Herod
mm-hmm.
and he died. So, and in the Old Testament too, God would destroy 1,000 people in an army. Not the devil doing that, God doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you put it together? I think the book of Job, read the first three chapters of Job. Yes, Satan hits Job with boils and sores, but he has to go before the throne of God to get permission
mm-hmm.
before he can touch Job. So yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, people ask, well, how do I know if God's, is God punishing me for some sin because I have cancer? Not necessarily.
Right.
You know, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Nobody sinned, is what Jesus said. This is for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but Mona, if I get rip-roaring drunk tonight and have a headache and a hangover the next morning, there is a connection. If I am promiscuous and end up with herpes, there's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
There's forgiveness, but there's still
consequences.
Yeah,
right?
There's consequences to sin. Yep.
I am suffering so much right now, and I am wondering, what sin is God punishing me for?
Yeah, again, that's the same thing. Not necessarily are you being punished. We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We all get disciplined by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the punishment for our sin was taken by Christ on the cross. So, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a fallen world, so we have to put up with the consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion, which is sin and sickness. Jesus heals us. I'm not convinced, like some TV preachers, that if you believe hard enough, you're always going to be healed. That's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament. Now, when Elisha became ill, of the illness of which he was to die,
yep.
He didn't have weak faith. He raised people from the dead. So mm-hmm. sometimes God just takes you home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Did God create the devil? I thought God couldn't sin.
Well, so where'd the devil come from? God ultimately did create everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so let me explain this. Monism means there's only one God. Dualism teaches there's two gods. Some religions, non-Christian religions, are eternal dualists. They believe God is eternal, and they believe either matter is eternal or the devil is eternal. Christianity says no to eternal dualism, and we teach eternal monism. Only one is eternal, and that's God. So who invented the devil?
Mm-hmm.
God created everything. Now, the theory is that he created the devil as a good angel, and then Satan rebelled. And some people think that's spelled out in Ezekiel. I think they're talking about the king of Tyre, not the devil in that passage. But regardless, the Bible does talk about fallen angels. Mm-hmm. So that makes you think there were angels that fell and rebelled. So I think that's a good theory, but it's not clearly spelled out exactly how the devil became the devil. But in the beginning, it was only God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It wasn't the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alrighty. If God can use my sins for his glory, then is it okay for me to sin?
Yeah, I just preached about Peter and how he sinned and denied Christ three times, but God even used that for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first 300 years, Christians were thrown to the lions, and a lot of them denied Christ, and they're wondering, can I get back in the church? Can I be saved? And well, you got St. Peter, who was the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there's forgiveness. So yes, God can use my sins for his glory, but of course that is not a license to sin,
because
mm-hmm. there are still consequences to all sin. We're forgiven, we're not going to hell, but if I rob a bank as a Christian, I'm still going to jail. So there are consequences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we go to heaven when we die, will we come back to earth to go through Judgment Day? Why do we need Judgment Day if we are already in heaven?
Well, the Bible does talk about Christ returning with his saints, his mm-hmm. holy ones. So I think when Christ returns in the clouds at the last day, I think the saints in heaven come with him. And I think that's when there will be a Judgment Day, and Christians have to go through Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be saved on Judgment Day, but God will determine what rewards we do or do not get on Judgment Day. So I think, yes, the saints come down on Judgment Day. They're part of Judgment Day. They go through Judgment Day, but then we're given our resurrection bodies for eternity at that point. So that's the way I put it together.
All right. What do we say to someone who says a fetus is merely a clump of cells and doesn't become human until it breathes?
Yeah, you know, I saw some pro-choice Christian say that, well, Adam didn't become a human being till God breathed in him. That's the first human.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a baby. Adam was never in a womb.
Mm-hmm.
But is the baby in the womb human? Of course it is. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, when unborn Jesus walked in the room in sight of Mary, and unborn John the Baptist saw that, he leapt for joy inside his mother's womb.
Yep.
You got Psalm 139, talks about how God made me in my mother's womb. So if you're thinking about abortion, don't do that. Have the baby. Raise it yourself or get an adoption, but don't kill that precious child of God. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to watch any of our shows for free, you go to pastorstudy.org. We're on all over the country now, but it's a lot of money to buy this airtime, so we don't want to withdraw from stations. We'd love to add stations, but that depends upon our viewers. So there's the address where people can support us, or in a minute you'll see an address that you can support us. But pray for us, and there you go.
Psalms 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. To know God, you need to know the Bible. Have a good week. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.